This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa'ada. Wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Al-hajj ashhurun ma'lumat. Sadaqallahu al-azim. My dear respected elders, brothers, mothers and sisters, continuing our induction and our preparation for Hajj. And inshallah we will continue with this. Maybe the other groups will also inshallah start joining us as they come on Thursday. Today we would like to do the Mubarak Hajj of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hajj was made for us in the 9th year after Hijri. Yesterday I recited the verse which made Hajj compulsory, and I said that there is a great amount of emphasis upon that verse which made Hajj for us. And it is something that it's on record and something that I made mention of. So it just shows the emphasis upon Hajj. So in the 9th year after Hijri, Hajj was made for us. So the first Hajj that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not go on the 9th year after Hijri. He sent Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu as Amirul Hajj, as the Amir for the Hajj. Then on the way, Allah Ta'ala revealed the verse, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, innama al-mushrikuna najasun, fala yaqrabu al-masjid al-harama ba'da amihim hadha. And there were other verses that in Surah Tawbah Allah Ta'ala revealed that were to be announced in Mina, which said that from now onwards, the people who are idol worshippers cannot perform Hajj, especially according to the pagan customs of the time. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu sent Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu after Abu Bakr had left for Hajj and said, Abu Bakr, O Ali, you are from the Quraysh, you are from my family. And it would be appropriate that you make the announcement, because the Quraysh were regarded to be the custodians of the Kaaba. And if you make the announcement, it would be better and would be more readily accepted. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu joined Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu on the journey. And he said, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam had sent me to make this announcement in Mina that from now onwards, there will be only the Hajj that will be performed according to Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala asked him and said, now what does this mean? Does it mean that you are now the Amir? I'm prepared to relinquish my Imarat. I'm prepared to relinquish, you become the Amir. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, no, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say I must become the Amir. He said, you must remain the Amir, only I must make the announcement. Now look at the beautiful way of the Sahaba. There was so much of, you know, love. There was no like fighting for power. Abu Bakr said, if Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent you now to become the Amir, even if he appointed me, you take over the Amir. Ali radiallahu anhu said, no. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you must remain the Amir, only I must make this announcement. So that was in the 9th year after Hijri, when the first time Hajj was made for us. In the 10th year after Hijri, now just bear in mind, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away in the 11th year after Hijri. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away in Rabiul Awwal. Hajj takes place in Dhul Hijjah. 3 months before Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's passing away, this Hajj takes place. Therefore it is known as Hajjatul Wida'ah, the farewell Hajj of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left Medina on the 26th of Dhul-Qa'dah. Now you see that this tells us that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't come long before. He left Dhul-Qa'dah 26th. He reached Makkah on the 4th. So altogether Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was 8 days on the journey. Nowadays we take 1 day, and that also we find it cumbersome and burdensome. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's Hajj journey took 8 days, and where he stopped also has been recorded. So came to Zulqa'dah, which we know as Zulhulayfah and Bir Ali. At the time he left after Zuhr, Medina, and he came just before Asr. In Asr he read Qasr Salah, he read Maghrib and Isha. He was with his wives on that night, and the next day he wore his ihram mid-morning. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put a certain type of itar, which is known as, I think it is known as dakhira. It is a plant-based itar. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam puts quite a bit of it, so much that people could see it on his beard. A little bit the effects of it. So as I made mention of previously, that when we did the Umrah program in Medina, you can put attar and perfume on your body before ihram, not after ihram. Not on your clothes, on the body. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put that. Now one of the questions that comes, that this was a very, very important hajj. Because by that time, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba formed a community which was the best community in the entire history of humanity. Khairul qurukum wa khairul quruni qarni. The best of ages is this, my age. ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. Then the age after mine, the Sahaba's age, the Tabi'in, the Taba Tabi'in. So these are the three best ages. The best ages of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So now Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has formed, you know, a group, and Islam had spread throughout the Arabian Peninsula. But many of the people did not see Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They had not interacted with Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Here he gave the people a chance to interact with Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on a one-to-one basis. And then it also gave Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the opportunity to give parting and lasting advices. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used this as a means of giving parting advices to our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had already indicated to Sahaba that he's not going to live very long after this. He told Hazrat Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala anhu when he was sending him to Yemen, O Yemen, O Mu'adh, لَعَلَّكَ تَمُرُّ بِمَسْجِدِي وَقَبَرِي هَذَا. O Mu'adh, next time you come, you will come to see my masjid and my qabr, and you will not see me. فَبَكَى Mu'adh. So Mu'adh started crying. خَسَفَلْ لِفِرَاقِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ. Out of sadness of the separation from Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sahaba, nothing gave them more sadness than separation from Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Some Sahaba used to say, we used to come back from a long journey tired. That time, of course, journeys were very tired on the camel back and many days and days on. And the moment we came to Medina, we came and saw Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's face, our tiredness evaporated. So for them, the greatest thing was separation from Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala started crying. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also shed some tears, but he hid his tears and he turned away from Mu'adh. And he gave him such words of reassurance. It's a reassurance for all of us. إِنَّ أَوْلَى النَّاسِ بِيَالْمُتَّقُونَ حَيْثُ كَانُوا وَعِنَمَا كَانُوا وَعِنَّمَا كَانُوا. O Mu'adh, don't be sad. The people closest to me are those who fear Allah Ta'ala, no matter where they are and no matter when they come. Subhanallah. Even if they're far away from me, they're still close to me. Even if they come after me, they have taqwa, they are close to me. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did give indication that beforehand that he was leaving. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took this opportunity. So when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left Medina, there was 40,000 people with Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As the journey went on, people joined. So when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam joined, it eventually it came up to 124,000. But it started off with 40,000. The first stop where they slept was in Zulhulayfah. Thereafter, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stopped at a place which is known as Rawha. Now, I don't know if anyone has ever had the opportunity of passing by what is known as Bir Rawha, the well of Rawha. I went once. And it was a very amazing. They say that water of that well has got healing properties. It's very good for Shifa. It's not very far from Medina. It's perhaps one of the last. So the second stop that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made after he left Medina was in Rawha. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, in Rawha, 70 Anbiya passed by this. There's a hadith in Tirmizi Sharif that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said Hazrat Musa Alayhi Salaam also made Hajj and he came to the Kaaba in Baytullah. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I can see Musa Alayhi Salatu Wasalam on his conveyance. And a particular conveyance, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made mention of the color. And he said, Hazrat Musa Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to Makkah, close to Makkah, he said, it is as if I can hear the labbaik of Hazrat Musa Alayhi Salam. So Musa Alayhi Salatu Wasalam also made Hajj. Hazrat Hud Alayhi Salatu Wasalam made Hajj. So these were the Anbiya Alayhi Salatu Wasalam that made Hajj. And they also made Tawaf and Ka'a. They came to the Kaaba and Baytullah. So he said 70 Anbiya passed by Roha. The third stop that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was by Ithaya. And the fourth was Al-Araj. Now in Araj a very amazing incident happens. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave his luggage to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala to care and look after. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala had his slave that he had given to look after the luggage. To the slave and the servant, what he did was he had a separate camel to load that luggage and the goods of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. The ladies came here, is it any idea? If they wouldn't, they would have sent a message again, yes. So then that slave and servant came and the camel wasn't there. So that means he lost the luggage. So I always tell people, you know, now people they get very angry. The flight get delayed, they get angry. The luggage get lost, they get angry. Right? Our train got delayed. So what happens? Nabi Karim Sallallahu's luggage got lost in this. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, because more than himself, for Nabi Karim Sallallahu became very angry on this. He rebuked him and he became so angry. I told you to look after the luggage. What are you doing? And Nabi Karim Sallallahu even, you know, joked with Abu Bakr. And he said, look at this person in Ihram and he's getting angry. He's in Ihram and he's getting angry. Now because Nabi Karim Sallallahu's possessions were lost, Sahaba, Ya Allah, they started sharing their possessions with Nabi Karim Sallallahu. Fudala bin Ubaid, I think it was. He came and said, Ya Rasulullah, here's my goods. Here's my possession, here is my food. Whatever you want from me, take it. So everyone clapped together, so to speak, to help the people. So it happens. So sometimes Nabi Karim Sallallahu's luggage got lost. I came once for Hajj, my luggage got lost. I found it the next year. So yeah, and I had two companions, they helped me a lot, Allah shukar. So in some way we followed the sunnah. So my luggage got lost and they helped me. You know, we had to go and buy a few kurtas and few, you know, vests, etc. just to keep you going for the 2 weeks. So I came for a short trip, luggage got lost, didn't come. Anyway, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now another incident that took place. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then also the fifth stop was Abwa. Now this was a very emotional stop. And I'll tell you why it was emotional. But in between there was another incident. It either happened in Araj or Abwa. Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala, the wife of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's camel broke down. So when her camel broke down, she started crying. What's going to happen? Such an important journey. What an important journey, and I'm going to miss out. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came in a tent and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wiped away her tears. Said, don't worry, I will make arrangements for you. I will make arrangements for another camel for you. Don't get excited. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, wiped away her tears, took his hands and took his fingers and wiped away her tears and consoled her. And amazing how Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to relate with his wives. There's another, I'm not sure if it happened this time or there's another time. Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala had a backache. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what he did was he took a shawl, made it into a small ball, like a small thing, and he said, put it behind your back when you climb the camel. It will help you with regard to your backache. It will give you support. So this is how Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi looked after his wives. I don't know how many ladies are there, they might be getting happy. Today if someone does all this and he looks after his wife like that, Gujarati maape hu kya hai, acho bailo chhe. He's his wife's gulam or his wife's servant. But Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi did this. You see, in Arab also there was another incident that happened. So how great is our Sahaba, they recorded everything of history. So there used to be a person by the name of Anjasha. Anjasha was made in charge of transporting the ladies. Right? So Anjasha, when he used to take the camels, had a very specific method of poetry. He used to sing very captivating and charming poetry with a very good voice. Right? So now you must remember, sometimes voices are also alluring. Right? Voices are also alluring. And in Hajj, he was in charge of the ladies. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him a very amazing thing. Anjasha, you know, be careful with your poetry. And you see, when he used to sing those poetry, the camels used to ride and go very fast because he used to spur them on with his poetry. Right? And then he said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Rifkam bil qawarir. Oh Anjasha, go slowly. You are dealing with qawarir. You know what is qawarir? In today's time, you will say, you know, when you go for your, you got certain luggage which is fragile. So you go to the checking counter, you say, listen, this is fragile. Put a fragile sticker and check it in separately. Oh Anjasha, take it easy. Don't let the camels go too fast. Bil qawarir. These people are vulnerable. The women are vulnerable. Subhanallah. What a beautiful way. Qawarir. Rifkam bil qawarir. Be mindful of these people whom you are transporting the wives of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the woman. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Anjasha that during the course of that journey. Then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to Abwa. Now Abwa is a place where Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's mother, Hazrat Amina, is buried. Now we all know Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's father passed away before Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's birth. Hazrat Amina took Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to Madinah Munawwara. Right? Said that Hazrat, I think Abdullah radiallahu anhu also passed away in Medina, and her family was also in Medina. So it was like a journey to go back. And on the way, Hazrat Amina became ill and she passed away in Abwa. And you can imagine a small child lost his father before birth at the age of 6, around about 4 to 6 or something like that. Mother passes away on a journey, and who was with Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Umme Ayman, a woman by the name of Umme Ayman, who was like making the khidmat, was serving and taking, joining them. And amazingly, Umme Ayman was an African woman, a woman from Africa. So she took care of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam after the mother passed away. One riwayat I was listening to, an alim, he said after they buried Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they must know how they buried, Allah knows best. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam like slept on the qabr and cried. I'm a young child. And then Umme Ayman brought him back safely in the custody of Abdul Muttalib first and then Abu Talib. So this happened. So Abwa, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stayed there. And one narration says that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took privacy from the Sahaba, went away from the Sahaba, and he went and he stood for a long time by the Qabr and he cried in the Qabr of his mother. And for a considerable period of time he cried. And they even make mention with regard to the way Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sat at his Qabr. Just sit up like this one and show you like this. Yeah, like this. Go down. Yeah, like this. And put your hands around. Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah. And keep it close to your face. That's the way they said Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat by the cover of his mother. Of separation for his mother. So this happened in Abwa. So this was the fifth stop that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made. And then Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped at Usfan, which was the sixth spot. Right? And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped at Sarif. And Sarif is also a very amazing place. Hazrat Maymuna, the wife of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, made nikah to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Sarif. I'm not sure if it is in this journey or it is another journey. So Sarif is a place where Hazrat Maymuna got married, her rukhsati took place, and she passed away and she's buried in Sarif. So her nikah also took place in Sarif. It's not very far from Makkah. In fact, though some of the taxis who know, they tell you, that this is a very small marking. Unfortunately nowadays, because of the Saudi policy of not preserving these places, they don't, haven't preserved it. But there's a small grave that is on the way just before Makkah, about maybe I think 30 odd kilometers from Makkah, where Hazrat Maymuna, the wife of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is buried. Sarif is a place where Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala also had her menses. And she started crying. Ya Rasulullah, I'm with you in this journey. And everyone will be performing Hajj. And they will be enjoying their ibadat, and I won't be able to enjoy my ibadat. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her, this comes from Allah Ta'ala. This has got nothing to do with you. You don't control these things. Allah Ta'ala controls these things. Right? And look at what a great barakah it turned out to be. Really, it's a great barakah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do all the rituals other than tawaf. And not go to the haram. So all the other rituals you can do, you can go to Arafat, you can make niyat, you can make go to Arafat, make dua, you can do the pelting, everything. The only thing you can't do is make tawaf. Now look at why is it a benefit? How does the ummah benefit from this? Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, because now towards the end of the 5 days, she said, Ya Rasulullah, everyone made tawaf. You going, I'm not going to make tawaf. What's going to happen? You know? So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent her brother Abdul Rahman and said, go to Tan'im and wear your ihram and come back and make all your tawafs, whatever you're supposed to make. And Umrah from there. Now all of us, from that time till the day of Qiyamah, we are benefiting from Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala's predicament. Because of her predicament, she asked and she cried and said, Ya Rasulullah, I don't make tawaf. We're not going to get opportunity again. Go with your brother, go and wear your ihram from Tan'im. That is why it is, what is in the masjid known as Tan'im? So look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts certain people through such situations and how it benefits the ummah till the day of Qiyamah. The same thing happened with tayammum, but now that's another story for another day. So this is something that... So when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, he spent the night before in Dhi Tuwa. Dhi Tuwa is in the higher portions of Makkah and Mukarramah. And after performing the dawn prayer, and he took a bath on Sunday morning in the 4th of Zulhijjah, which was the 5th of March 632, he spent 8 days on the way, and he made mention with regard to all the stops. And as soon as he entered into Makkah, the Haram, he made tawaf. And as I told you yesterday, that when we ended up, that in Medina Munawwara, we come to Masjid al-Nabawi, you read 2 rakats, Tahiyatul Masjid. Here, when you come, the first thing you do, tawaf. And he came to the kissing of the black stone, and he cried. And Umar radiallahu anhu was looking at him. And he said, he looked at him, Ya Rasulullah, why you are crying? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this is a place where you are supposed to cry. It's a place of emotion. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made the tawaf, then he made Safa Marwa. And first he went, of course, read the 2 rakats, and then he drank a pail of Zamzam water. whole pail of Zamzam water. And he said, it is a sign of a mu'min that he can drink Zamzam to his full. It's a sign of a munafiq that he can't drink Zamzam. He finds it difficult to drink Zamzam. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then drank, and then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made Safa Marwa. Right, he climbed right up the Mount of Safa, reading the Safa wal Marwata min Sha'irillah, then made Safa Marwa. There is one riwayat that one or two rounds Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made walking. But then everyone want to clamoring to be now on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is natural. So because of that, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also to make it easy, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after one or two rounds, or perhaps the whole thing, Allah knows best, there are two riwayats. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got up on his camel and made the Safa Marwa on his camel. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the Safa Marwa on his camel. So all our old people, Allah Ta'ala made it easy for you also. So if you were to go like, on the wheelchair, we said Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also made it on a camel back. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made Safa Marwa on his camel back. Now Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's, what Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made, Hajj was Qiran Hajj. He made Tawa, Umrah and Hajj in one Ihram. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought animals to slaughter from Medina. So once you bring animals to slaughter in the Ihram, nowadays we don't have that particular tartib, we don't have that circumstances. But in the previous time they used to bring animals from their hometown. So once you bring an animal with you, with your Ihram, then you have to remain in Ihram till you slaughter those animals. So they, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought animals to slaughter, and therefore Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained in Ihram. Now remember, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into 8 days with Ihram on the road. Fourth, he came to Makkah, 3 days, another 3 days. So 7, 10 days Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Ihram. And then Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba who did not bring the animals, you people take off your Ihram and become pak, wear your normal clothes. Take a ghusl and dim. This is where we tamattu takes place. Now look at, this is not ordinary and insignificant. Ulama tells us all of these things, they come from these examples and the incidents of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now just look at this example. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he saw the Sahaba, they were reluctant to take out the Ihram because they saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Ihram, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling them, you take out your Ihram. Those who didn't bring the animals, you make tamattu. You done your Ihram, your Umrah, take out your Ihram, wear your normal clothes and wear Ihram again on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he saw the reluctance, he said, if I knew that you would have been reluctant, I would have also made the same type of, I wouldn't have brought my animals and I would have made tamattu hajj. Now look at this also. Now the difference of opinion, we say Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam Shafi has got difference, right? Now sometimes look at the cause of the difference. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself made Qiran. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi says Qiran is better, right? Qiran is better. But he also said, at the same time, if I knew that you are going to be reluctant to take off your ihram, I would have made tamattu. So Imam Shafi rahmatullah said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if I knew, I would have made tamattu. That means tamattu is better. But both of them are correct in his own way. Look at the beautiful way. So Imam Hanifa deducted one thing because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a qari, he made qiran. And Imam Shafi rahmatullah said, but yes, he said, if it was another circumstance, I would have made tamattu. But Allah knows best. Allah has made all of these things permissible for us. Not something for us to fight. You make tamattu, there's nothing wrong. You make qiran, there's nothing wrong. You make ifrad, there's nothing wrong. In fact, I think it is Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi who believed that ifrad is the best hajj to perform. So we have this difference of opinion. But no one actually says that the other hajj is not permissible to perform. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained there in the 3 days. There is one incident of Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala. Some say that it happened now at Hajjatul Wida, some say it happened before that when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the Qaza Umrah. Right? He couldn't make Umrah when he came in the 6th year of Hijrah, which led to the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. In the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, one of the clauses was you'll come next year on the 7th year after Hijri to make Umrah. So maybe some people said that. What happened was Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas became sick. Nabi Akram s.a.w. went to visit him. So Nabi Akram s.a.w. went to visit him. Sa'd said, Ya Rasulullah, make dua, I must not die in Makkah. And he said, Ya Allah, who wouldn't like, we like to, I mean, Makkah is a Mubarak place. But look at what Sa'd's mindset was and the Sahaba's mindset. We left Makkah for the sake of Allah to go to Medina. Now we have come back for a visit, for an Umrah or for a Hajj. I don't want to die on the place where I left for the sake of Allah. I don't want to die in a place which I left for the sake of Allah. I went to Medina when it was very difficult for us to leave our environment at that time, but I did it for the sake of Allah. Now when I left this place for the sake of Allah, I don't want to die in this place because I left it for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Oh Sa'd, don't worry, you're not going to die. Allah is going to take a lot of work from you. Huh? We're not going to die. And I made mention when we met to Jo'burg there. Now we all of us, we're in the same boat, by and large. We all say we want to die in Medina, but not in Nisra. Because we want to die in Makkah, Medina, but don't know. Ya Allah, keep us alive. Maybe next time when we come, we'll be very old, then you take us. Huh? So we all say we want to die, but no one will say, we want to die now. No one will say yes. That's the reality. So Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas was worried. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, so then in the course of him, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I want to give all my wealth in the path of Allah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, you can't give all your wife and wealth in the path of Allah. He said, three quarter, no. Half, no. One third. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, okay, one third you are allowed, but with thuluthu kathir. But one third is also a lot. And he said, Sa'd, what an amazing incident, what an amazing lesson. Sa'd, to leave your children independent and with something to look after them is better than to leave them in poverty. Oh Sa'd, for you to leave your children independent with something is better than to leave them with poverty. Sa'd, don't give all your wealth in charity. Look after your children with that wealth. Huh? Subhanallah. And then of course Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was true, because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Oh Sa'd, Allah Ta'ala is going to take lot of work from you. Now I want to ask you people, what work did Sa'd, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam take from? What work did Allah Ta'ala take from Sa'd? Let us see how much people know of Islamic history. Imtihan. Conqueror of Persia. Conqueror of the Persian Empire was Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas. Subhanallah. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, Allah Ta'ala kept him alive for a very great reason. He became the conqueror of Sa'd bin Abi. Now, you know, I like to make mention of stories. There's a very... Abu Mahjan al-Thaqafi. Abu Mahjan al-Thaqafi was a very, very great warrior. So, Abu Mahjan al-Thaqafi, on the eve of the battle of the Qadisiyah, which led to the fall of the Persian Empire, he was found taking alcohol. So Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas said, you know, alcohol taking is not an individual thing. In Islam, Islamic rule, you must be punished, you must be flogged. 80 lashes, right? So Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas locked him up. He said, now with the eve of the battle, tomorrow we are fighting. And take a wall, you go and see, deal with you afterwards. How could you do something like that? So he locked him up. So the next morning, the battle is raging. And Abu Mahjan, who is a famed warrior, one of the greatest warriors, he wasn't a Muslim before, he became a Muslim afterwards. So Abu Mahjan started singing poetry, regretting that he's not in the battlefield, which is his forte. So Salma, the wife of Sa'd bin Waqqas, heard him. She said, what's wrong? She said, I'm a warrior, I'm locked up, I want to go and fight. Allow me to go and fight. He told her, I ask you and I plead with you one thing. He said, what? He said, unlock me, I promise you, if I survive, I'll come back and lock myself. No one will know. Just allow me to go and fight. And if I'm shaheed, once a shaheed, no one will speak, nothing will, no one will ever blame anyone because a shaheed has got a special status. So Salma, out of pity, unlocked him. Now he came out, he didn't have any horse or anything. So there was a horse of Sa'd, the spare horse of Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas was next to the where he was locked up. He took that horse and he went. And he just made and he went into the ranks of the enemy and created chaos amongst them. Turned the tide of events of the entire battle. Turned the tide. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas is noticing the entire battle. And he looked at the situation and he said, who is this person who is changing the tide of the battle? If it was not for the fact that I had locked him up, I would have said he's Abu Mahjan. And doesn't that look like my horse also? Subhanallah. Then he came back and he unlocked him. He came and locked himself again in the same cabin. At night, Salma said that this is what happened. And Nabi Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas went to Abu Mahjan. Abu Mahjan made tawbah. Sa'd, I will never drink alcohol again. I made tawbah. The person who took alcohol was the hero of Islam. The person who took alcohol on the eve of a major battle was the hero of Islam in Qalisiyah. Who are we to judge people? South African Muslims are the most judgmental I've seen in the whole world. We love judging people. We make people kafir and munafiks and hypocrites and fasiks all the time. And here was a person who took alcohol and he's a hero. He changed the course of the events of the Battle of Qadisiyah. Anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Now we see, I'm taking so long, it was already 3:30. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then stayed there, and Ali radiallahu anhu came from Yemen. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sent Ali radiallahu anhu to Yemen, and he came. And when he made his niyat, look at the amazing way he made the niyat. He made niyat, I'm making ihram according to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever ihram Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made, this is my same ihram. So when he came to Mecca, he saw Hazrat Fatima out of ihram, wearing normal clothes and with a certain degree of adornment. I mean, she wore nice clothes, whatever it is. He became very angry. He said, your father has got ihram and you sitting here without ihram. So he went to complain to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, I gave them permission to do so. You do Quran, but I gave them permission to come out of ihram to make tamattu. Subhanallah. So husband is making one ihram, one type of hajj, and the wife is making another type of hajj. So then Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then wore his ihram again on the 8th and went to Mina. In Mina, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent 5 namazes, 5 salats. Then on the 8th, Zohar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, and the Fajr of the 9th, day of Arafah, he made. So then, on that particular night, the night between Mina and Arafat, Allah Ta'ala revealed Surah Al-Mursalati Urfan. There's a place, somewhere I read somewhere, there's a place, a cave where Murmur Salat was revealed to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on the 9th of Zil Hijjah, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then went to Arafat. He reached there mid-morning, he rested a while, right, and thereafter he got ready for the wukuf of Arafat. What you want to do? You want to go to Saf, you read Salah yet? So you carry on for a little while? Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then made wukuf after Zohar. He made Zohar and Asr with one, right? Wukuf in Arafah is made with one iqama and 2 namazes. Muzdalifah, you make two iqamas for the Maghrib and Isha. Right? I hope I'm getting it right. I'll check it up, but that's my remembrance. So thereafter, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a short sermon, but it is a unique sermon. It's a sermon that, you see, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave several different sermons. So sometimes we get mixed up in where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said what. At the end of the day, we can always say that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this in the farewell hajj. O people, listen to me. Asa Allah talquni ba'di. Perhaps you will not listen to me on such a gathering and such a setting again. Sahaba were like, ears now open. What is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying? And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave many, many different advices. One of them was, hold fast onto the Quran and Sunnah. I'm leaving behind two things for you. If you remain steadfast upon it, you will be successful. Quran and my Sunnah. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also abolished paganish customs and abolished interest. And I made mention of it when I went for ziyarat, that the first thing that he cancelled and abolished was that was due upon his own family members. The interest that was due upon Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhu, he abolished that. So this was to show that actions speak louder than words. When the time came for sacrifice, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the one who always was the one who first made effort from himself and his family members first. The family of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam are not only great because they are the family of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but whenever there was sacrifice required in the ummah, the family of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the first to make the sacrifice. In Badr, when the Quraysh came and said, in Hal min Mubariz, is there anyone who will have an individual combat? Who did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam send? Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, his cousin and his son-in-law. And he sent his uncle Hazrat Hamza and Abu Ubaidah ibn Harith, people who were close to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So these were how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt. Sacrifice, that's why Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu did what he did. Sacrifice was the reason why they are so great. The family of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam are not only great because they are the family. They are great because they put their lives on the line for the Islam. So this Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam first abolished the interest that was due. Then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said there is no superiority of the Arab over the non-Arab, or the black over the white, except on the basis of taqwa. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that لا فليبلغ الشاهد منكم الغائب. Those who are present here must go and relate this message of mine to those who are absent. The situation of tabligh. Therefore, all the Sahaba who were there, most of them are buried outside Makkah, Medina. All of them went where and where to go and propagate Islam. It's something that we in South Africa are very weak. We haven't been able to show Islam to the people of the country. I went to Uzbekistan, to Samarkand. And there is the grave of Kuthum bin Abbas, the cousin of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Kuthum bin Abbas, the brother of Abdullah ibn Abbas, buried in Samarkand. Can you imagine where is Hijaz, where is Makkah, Medina, where is Samarkand? He went there to go and propagate Islam. Subhanallah. His qabr is there, very beautiful, well decorated and adorned because of his status, the cousin of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I'm not saying that it is permissible, I'm just giving you a historical fact that it is well adorned. So this was Nabi Karim. Then of course Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then asked the people that you will be asked by Allah Ta'ala about whether I have fulfilled my obligation in giving you the message of Islam. What will you say? And they said, إِنَّكَ كَتْبَلَّغْتَ الرِّسَالَةَ وَعَدَّيْتَ الْأَمَانَةَ وَنَصَحْتَ الْعُمَّةَ. O Prophet of Almighty Allah, you have fulfilled your responsibility of propagating Allah's message, and you have given us the best advice. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lifted up his shahadat finger, and he said, Allahumma ashhad, Allahumma ashhad. Oh Allah, bear witness and bear testimony that they are testifying that I have fulfilled my obligation in propagating your message to them. Then Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ayat al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena was revealed. This day we have completed our favors upon you. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati. And I have chosen Islam as a way of life and a religion for you. A Jewish person told Umar radiallahu anhu, one day you got an ayat, if it was revealed upon us, we would have made Eid. He said, which ayat? He said, this ayat. Umar radiallahu anhu said, it was three Eids in one. It was the day of Arafah when it was revealed. One of the most, if not the most, blessed day in the entire year, the day of Jummah, because Arafat happened in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on Jummah. As Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has written that Hajj on Friday is multiplied 70 times in reward. And then it was revealed after Asr, which is the most Mubarak time of the day. So three Mubarak things happened on that day when the Sahih was revealed. Nabi Karim ﷺ then completed Arafah, and then after Arafah he moved on towards Muzdalifah. Now that we will inshallah make tomorrow, because it's already 22 now. Right? So this is about a few minutes before Azan, inshallah. Any questions from here, anything that comes up?